The first is the story, the myth if you like, of the Buddha's victory over Mara. A few days ago when I spoke about the life of the Buddha, I described how he sat down under the Bodhi tree, meditated and gained enlightenment. But the biographies don't leave it at that. They spin a very elaborate myth about this great event. And they describe, for instance, how when the Buddha sat on that seat beneath the Bodhi tree, he was attacked by a terrible army of demons in all sorts of repulsive and horrible forms. And these demons were led by Mara, who is the sort of Buddhist Satan. He's called Mara the Evil One, Mara Papaka. And this particular incident, this particular myth, is very vividly and strikingly depicted in Buddhist art, as well as being described in Buddhist poetry. That this beautiful picture, as it were, of the calm figure of the Buddha, or the Buddha-to-be, seated underneath the Bodhi tree, with his eyes half closed, peacefully meditating. And on all sides, there are terrible figures, hideous, deformed, monstrous figures, rather like something out of the canvases of the Western artist Hieronymus Bosch. It's very much like that. You get demons with the heads of crocodiles and the heads of wolves, demons with tails and demons with 10 arms and demons with eyes in the middle of their chests, all attacking or trying to attack the calm figure seated under the tree. Some are throwing stones, some are spitting flame, others are discharging bows and arrows, and so on. But the Buddha is unmoved. There's a great radiance about the Buddha, a five-coloured radiance of white and blue and yellow and red and orange, a five-coloured radiance. And when all these weapons, the stones and the flames and the arrows and the spears and the clubs, reach the edge of this halo, they're all transformed into flowers. And as flowers, they fall at the Buddha's feet. So this incident, this myth, as I said, is very beautifully depicted and portrayed in Buddhist art and in Buddhist poetry. And then the myth goes on to relate Mara, the evil one, wasn't finished. Having tried to frighten the Buddha with his demon hosts and failed, what does he do? He tries a more subtle approach, if you can call it that. He sends to the Buddha his three daughters. One is called lust, the other is called passion, and the last is called delight. So they dance in front of the Buddha and exhibit their charms, but the Buddha is still not moved. He doesn't take any notice at all. And in some versions of the story, the three beautiful daughters of Mara, they turn into withered old hags and they creep away. Now what does this represent? All these figures, the demon hosts, Mara the evil one, the three beautiful daughters of Mara, all of them surging up around the Buddha, attacking the Buddha, they all represent the unregenerate forces of the unconscious mind. All those passions, all those cravings which swirl about in the pit of the unconscious, as it were, in conflict not only with the conscious mind and its aspirations, but even among themselves. The demons represent all the negative emotions like fear and anger and hatred and jealousy and wrath and fury. And the daughters represent different aspects of craving and clinging and lust and desire. And Mara himself, the father of the three daughters, the leader of the demon hosts, he represents primordial ignorance, spiritual ignorance, darkness, blindness and confusion. And one of his names, the literal meaning of the name Mara is death, the principle of impermanence in its negative form. So we may say that this great myth of the Buddha's victory over Mara represents his victory, the victory of his enlightened consciousness over all the negative forces, even the positive forces, within his own unconscious mind. This is the significance, the psychological and spiritual significance of this great myth.